update on activities by Christy Robinson.
So this is agenda paper one for everybody who's online or has it in front of them. So I don't think we're going to show on the screen. So in this presentation, I'll give you an update on our activities, in particular in the disclosure initiative, which also includes the IFRS taxonomy. So I think it's that latter point which will definitely be of interest to you. So in this, if I move to slide two, the aims of this presentation is really just to give you an update of those activities, give you a chance to answer questions, and then I think importantly give you a bit of background to some of the papers that we're looking at later today, in particular the information about the roadmap, the discussion about the roadmap and the strategy that we're undertaking. So if I move to slide three, I'll talk a bit about, firstly, about the... Has everybody got the slides? Slide three. So if I... we'll talk firstly about the disclosure initiative, a little bit about upcoming IFRS taxonomy releases, some more about the IFRS taxonomy due process, and then touch upon the jurisdictional profiles. And I'll note that there's some information in the appendix, which I won't go into in detail, but if you have any questions, do ask me about those. So if I start on slide four and five, which deal with the disclosure initiative, and the first slide on slide five, really, you know, we always show this slide when we talk about the disclosure initiative because we want to be clear that what we're doing in this initiative is addressing all aspects of disclosure problem, which is not just overload. Sometimes people tell us that we're just looking at cutting disclosures. What we're looking to do is look at not only the amount of overload, but also the fact that we hear there's not enough of the right information in financial statements, and what's there is poorly communicated, so people could do a better job of grouping, formatting, pulling the information together. And in the disclosure initiative, we're trying to address each of those issues to make disclosures more effective. So if I move to slide six, which again is something, an overview which I think you have seen before, which details the different aspects of the initiative. So today we're going to concentrate on the Principles of Disclosure Project, which is one of our research projects, and also how that relates and interacts with the work on the IFRS taxonomy. Within this slide, I think of what also might be of interest to you is our implementation project on IS7 about more information about debt and changes in debt, and we will go into a bit more detail about that when I talk about the due process. The other aspect which I think you might find interesting, which we might deal with at a later meeting, is the work we're doing on our review of existing standards. And in particular there, our thinking is that we'll develop a drafting guide for the board. So what the board and the staff need to consider when we develop disclosures. And I think as part of that, our thinking about technology and how we might deliver information would be quite important, and maybe bring ourselves out of which I think sometimes can be a default to thinking about a paper-based reporting. So I think work in that area could be something that we might bring back to this group to sort of get some input on. Anyway, so if I move to slide seven, and this gives you a bit more detail on our Principles of Disclosure project. And here, the reason why we're doing this project, I think some of the problems that we see in disclosures are attributed to the way that the ISB writes its standards and the way that our standards are not helping entities enough apply and write their actual financial reports. So what we're doing here is trying to improve our sort of central standard, which gives entities a framework for how they pull all the information together in the other standards to produce a set of, financial statements. So it gives you the basic framework of structure for what goes into the report once you've applied all the recognition and measurement rules. Now, what we're hoping to produce is a discussion, or we want to produce a discussion paper that we're aiming for the end of 2015, so Q4 for that discussion paper. We want to have all our discussions with the board finalised by Q2, so by July this, well that's Q3 actually, but most the definitive discussions by June, and we'll want to go to permission to ballot to publish a document in July, and that gives us a bit of time to draft and get the document finalised. The other thing that's come out of these discussions is not only will we have a discussion paper which will deal with how we might develop a standard, but I think we're also getting a sense that we might need to also develop some education material which deals with some of the thinking that an entity may need to do regarding communication and formatting and how they actually think about how to display the information in their financial statements. You know, does the SEC have a plain English guide, something similar to that, just to get people to think that financial statements is a form of communication and they really should, it's not just a compliance exercise. So we think some maybe some education material around that sort of space might be beneficial. So if I move to slide 8, gives you a bit more detail about the particular topics in the disclosure initiative, in the principles of disclosure discussion paper. And as you can see, there's quite a few topics, and the interesting one that I want to bring out here is digital reporting, and it's in green at the bottom right-hand side. And as we've been going through this paper, we've been sort of thinking whether we need to have a separate discussion on how digital reporting fits into thinking about disclosures in IFRS. And actually, as we've gone through this, we've felt that we don't actually need that separate discussion. What we do need to do is to consider evenly the way that information is presented, whether it's in a digital format or in a paper format or some other format, that we need to treat that evenly in the way we express how things are conveyed. And I think we could do that through giving more examples, not only about how something might look in terms of a paper report, but how something may look in an electronic report. And I think a couple of these issues, in particular cross-referencing and comparability, touch more on that idea of producing financial statements digitally than paper-based. I do say, as a sort of a technical response, I think we do sometimes default to thinking about paper-based instead of financial statements, and I think that sort of mindset we need to shift a little bit. So if I move to the next set of slides, which are about the IFRS taxonomy releases. Now that's everything I was going to talk about on the sort of broader disclosure initiative. Does anybody have any questions on that before I move to the IFRS taxonomy?
The idea of not having a separate discussion for the digital reporting, exactly what you said, everybody goes toward paper-based. The risk is that the digital doesn't get its due time and effort in the discussion. So. Mm-hmm. How do you make sure it doesn't get shoved to the side? My first thought was, have a separate digital discussion so you nail that part. But
well, I think if we had a separate digital discussion, we would need to go through and sort of highlight how it may be different to what we've written in the other parts of the sections. It's almost like you have to say, well, here's the whole discussion paper. And actually, we've written that from a paper-based way, and now we've got this bit on digital reporting. Go back and re-look at it.
Right.
We think it more effective to actually incorporate some of that thinking that we would have put in the digital reporting section,
mm-hmm.
more clearly spread out through the paper itself. I think we'll need to be proactively thinking about that, specifically providing through the paper, and maybe what we could do in the introduction place and really place it a bit more prominently than I think we tend to when we talk about disclosures in a standard.
It depends on the people discussing if there's good representation, I guess, from the digital side.
Mm-hmm.
But Depends who's there.
Yeah, the separate piece would be interesting in the sense that at least it highlights it and you could maybe have a specific question.
Mm.
But then again, we didn't want it to be like when you sit around the board going,
yeah.
We've talked about paper, now we'll talk about digital. It should be mm-hmm. one sort of thinking, and actually some of the responses we've got to the IS7 amendments sort of have that notion that you have the reporting, then mm-hmm. you talk about digital. Ideally, and this is sort of quite a conceptual way of thinking, ideally you'd like it to be, well, we need to think about both at the same time, but I do sort of take the point.
Yeah, so it just gets to, is there good digital representation on the board?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Depends.
Yeah.
If I had my way, it would be all digital. and paper would be an afterthought.
That's what we all want to hear, but okay. Thank you, Chris.
So,
I just want to apologize quickly because there's a problem with uploading the slides, so technology is working on it and hopefully it will come back soon.
Okay. I'll continue to sort of work through the page numbers.
Exactly.
Okay, so if I move to the next section, which is about up and coming IFRS taxonomy releases, so if I move to slide 10. Which gives you a summary of the IFRS, which will be impacting the IFRS taxonomy in 2015 and 2016, and I think we could say maybe beyond that as well. So in 2015, we're going to expect to have some implications for the IFRS taxonomy for SMEs, and that's as a result of the up-and-coming IFRS on IFRS SMEs, which did a sort of a comprehensive review of that standard. We're also going to have a final standard, finally, on leases, and that's due for the end of the year. They've finished discussions with the ISB, that was a couple of months ago, and they're working to actually go through what we call the balloting process, so actually drafting the final document, and then it goes to the board for final approval, and then through to publication. That, I think, is going to take a bit longer than normal because that's a joint project with the FASB, so the US standard setter, and that process, just because you need to have two involved, I think takes longer than just having the ISB alone. The next item on this is the insurance contracts. I think that's not going to be an IFRS expected now until about 2016. When that comes out, that will be a significant amendment to the taxonomy. We're just looking at some of the disclosures that are in the insurance, were in the insurance exposure draft, and seeing how they'll be finalised in that standard. I think the expectation is they shouldn't shift too much from what was in the exposure draft, and that would give you a good sense if you wanted to see how the IFRS taxonomy will be impacted to look at those proposals there. The next one is the amendments to IS7, which the public consultation finished on Friday. I'll give you a bit more detail about that. Actually, I might as well talk about that now. So the comment letters period finished on Friday. I think we've received over 100 comment letters on that, which is very good. And I think there's been quite a large number. I think at last count, at least 40 or so had responded to the questions on the IFRS taxonomy. So that was a very good response from our perspective. And I think in terms of a response on an IFRS taxonomy update, that's perhaps better than we've ever had in terms of amendments to the taxonomy. I'll go into a bit more detail about what people said when we talk about the due process, but I think the actual response there has been something that's been quite sort of insightful for us. In terms of the two projects, macro hedge accounting and rate regulated activities, they're at the moment analysing comment letters on a discussion paper. So these two projects are very much in the research phase as well. When and if they develop to a standard, which, given that they're in the research phase, it's always possible that they may not move to the EV stage, but if they do, do reach a final standard, we'd expect those proposals to be significant, to have significant impact on the IFRS taxonomy. The expected publication date is definitely to be confirmed, because as it's a discussion people are talking, a final amendment wouldn't be anywhere before 2017. Now, if I move to slide 11, which talks about our IFRS taxonomy common practice content, we are going to be updating the taxonomy for the work that we've been doing on the utilities, information technology, media and chemical activities. We've gone through the due process, the revised due process, and had those amendments reviewed by our ISB board panel, and so we're expecting to issue the update in Q3 this year. We're also still undertaking some work on retail, and hopefully to have a proposed taxonomy update at the end of this year. And then we're still looking at how we may, what activities we would review going forward, and how we might review those going forward, and so the timing of that still. Now, if I move to the next part of the presentation, which is about IFRS taxonomy due process, this is slide 13, and in summary, if we're thinking about the due process, and we're splitting that between how we deal with changes to the content as a result of a standard, and how we deal with content as related common practice. In terms of how we deal with changes in content reflecting a new standard, we've proposed two changes. One is we want to review an approval by the ISB of those updates, and we'd expect that to, or we're proposing that it happens with the exposure draft in the form of the due process document is proposed taxonomy update. As I mentioned, we've had some feedback on IS7. I think of the 40 or so who've responded to the taxonomy piece, I would say maybe a quarter have been supportive and maybe three quarters have not been supportive. Now, these are very broad, indicative first run. If you can think we only got these comment letters finalised by Friday, and there's still been more coming in. So I'd say definitely the response has been mixed. I think those who have not been supportive of including the taxonomy proposed update with the exposure draft, concerned about the resources and the time that's needed to review those proposals at a point where there is possible change to those proposals. And also, there is a concern that developing the taxonomy at that stage may influence the standard itself and may influence the principles nature of setting standards. Now, I don't know if that's... I think there's a concern if the syntax or the structure of the taxonomy may have an impact on the disclosures, but I think to the extent, as we've been talking before, that the idea of digital reporting and the disclosure being reflected in a digital way impacts the disclosure, then I think that's a healthy sort of cross-fertilisation of ideas. So I think we need to get into a bit more detail and read these comments before we can give you anything more concrete, but as soon as that's done, we will maybe circulate that to everybody in the ITCG. We're expecting to bring a board paper which will analyse the comments in June. So that will have not only presented to the board and then with some recommendations going forward. In terms of the due process, I mean, we have to wait until that sort of process is finalised before we can sort of make a recommendation to the trustees of how this these proposals on terms of due process are working. In terms of common practice due process, I think that's been a bit more settled. So both the initiation of a new common practice project and the addition of common practice elements, we will develop them pretty similarly to the way that we have done previously. In terms of board approval, rather than taking it to the full board, we will take those proposals to a board panel, and I think we've got five four members on that panel who will review and approve those additions or new projects. If there's an issue or something more strategic that we feel needs to be taken to the full board, we can still do that, sort of take it through this board panel. And I think that's, we've had one meeting with the board panel and that's worked quite well. So I think we're almost to the end of that due process trial. So I think that covers 14 and 15. There is some more detail of the actual due process in slides 24 and 25, which if you want to have a look in more detail, do so. So then if I move to slides, next slides, which are on jurisdictional profiles, and they're in slide, if I move to 17. So in terms of the work that we're doing on jurisdictional profiles, and just a reminder, this is some work which builds on the jurisdictional profile work that the ISB had previously undertaken or continues to undertake on adoption of IFRS across the world. This sort of extends that work and says, well, once an entity produces an IFRS filing of some description, what does it do with it? Who does it give it to? What's the purpose? And in what format would that filing take? And in particular, we ask the question whether it includes an XBRL filing requirement. So we have, I think we're developing approximately 40 jurisdictional profiles at the moment. And of those, I think 30 jurisdictions have indicated that they use or are planning to use XBRL and the IFRS taxonomy. We have discovered, and no surprise, that the use of XBRL and what the filings change from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and I think the basis of which in what taxonomy is used depends a lot on what that filing is going to be used for. So if it's a stock exchange, then you're more likely to have an annual report using the IFRS taxonomy. If it's a tax filing or a business registrar, you may more likely have something with a local taxonomy. In terms of those profiles, if I move to slide 18, I won't go into too much detail of them here because they are still being developed, but we are planning to launch a first round of those profiles in June. We will be putting those on our website. Now, they'll be available in a PDF, quite an extensive, I think one that I've got is like 5 or 6 pages. But we do want to try and investigate a way to maybe using technology to actually layer that information as well, so you can sort of do a search on the things that you may want to, but also dig deep and get the detail if you want to. We are going to be launching that those profiles in some workshops that we're proposing to undertake in Tokyo. We've sent out invitations. Yes, we have sent out the invitations. And they'll be combined with some other workshops that we're doing in the research space. There'll be a full day for, in particular, I think, targeted at regulators to sort of understand a bit more about the IFRS taxonomy and some of the work that we've been doing around extensions and sort of these jurisdictional profiles. Now, what we want to do is that workshop will be a prototype, and we would then like to make sure that we can go out to other jurisdictions and do a similar sort of work and update. In terms of the profiles themselves, obviously we'll look to develop more and more as we get the information in. It's quite a bit of work to go get the information, find it well, which I think half the work is finding the right person to speak to. And then we'll continue to update them as they update and obviously the circumstances in the various jurisdictions change. I think that's in terms of all I want to talk about jurisdictional profiles, and that actually brings me to the end of the presentation that I was going to go through. Is there any questions or anything anybody would like to ask?
Yeah. Actually, it was related to the previous part, more on the disclosure initiative. But the question was, is there any plan within the disclosure initiative to take a look or research or investigate the more innovative or exotic concepts around reporting, like the real-time reporting from Finland, or the unit reporting concept, or the triple entry bookkeeping stuff?
I'd say no.
Is there
we hadn't even discussed it, so it's quite an interesting point that you raise, and it'd be interesting to understand some of the implications or how you think it relates.
Okay, just looking forward, basically, whether we are having that within the plan, or, you know, dismissing if these are not relevant, but at least having them in the plan and taking a look at them.
I'll come on, I might chat to you afterwards.
Absolutely.
What is instant reporting?
The three concepts that I recently happened to, one was from the Finnish Accounting Association. It is called real-time economy, real-time reporting. The other one is unit reporting and dynamic valuation. And the book was written by one of the persons who was working for the ISB in the past, Kurt Ramin. And there's a third one, which is a bit older, from 1989-1990, which is this triple accounting, triple booking type of concept. And people are revisiting those concepts to see whether these would respond more to the reporting requirements of today. So perhaps it's just worth looking and seeing whether this fits.
Anything more for Kristy? Just before, can you look at the mics, and if you're not speaking, switch them down? Secondly, my apologies for being late.
Yours is not on.
Mine is the one that's not on.
Red means you're on air, not red means. Off air.
I believe we're not talking anymore about comments on IAS 7.
Oh,
is that correct? I mean, in further sections of today.
He's off.
He's off.
You're off.
Don't press the button.
This one.
Red on air, no light off air.
Speak
don't
now.
Need to press the button.
Speak now. Okay. In looking at the comments, the 75% that said, let's not put the XBRL tags in the exposure draft. Mm-hmm. I think the core of them was primarily that the audience is different for the standards, the accounting people who care about how to book a transaction versus the XBRL people mm-hmm. who care about XBRL and tags. And I think that's true in the past, and it's probably true today that accounting people and then you got your XBRL people that care about this versus that. But I think the problem is unless we get them in the exposure draft, you'll never change that mindset, or it's a start to changing that mindset. So the audience is different in the past, and maybe today it's different, but it should be the same. In other words, the audience looking at the standard should be the same as they should care about the XBRL, and similarly, the XBRL people should care about the standard as well. I think that's in the future, but anyway, keep that in mind as, and we'll wait for the analysis of those comments, of course, but I just saw that as a big assumption that, sure, if that's your assumption, then fine, but need to look to the future. So
I think it's even more fundamental sometimes in especially the larger firms, the area that may look at the accounting developments are not the people who are actually producing the financial statements. And I think And it sort of happens here, you know, this is why perhaps we've got the disclosure initiative, is there's a lot of focus on recognition and measurement and how that is actually implemented into the system. And the disclosure section is a bit down the end that doesn't really get the focus it needs to get. And I think sometimes those discussions, not only here at the ISB, and that's been a criticism against us, that disclosures are these things that are addressed in one afternoon, or you know, one session at the end, after all the recognition and measurement has been developed, that you don't have sort of the same level of discussions, even internally, when you get to say a preparer about, okay, we've got an exposure draft. These are the disclosures. How are they? We're going to generate them. How are they going to be referenced? that's generally done, in my experience, and you know, and I don't know if you have any thought, is generally done after the standard is finalised. And I don't think you've had that great sort of discussion, which actually the end product is these disclosures. And I don't think that given the sort of, I don't know, emphasis. And I think this taxonomy is a good way to actually bring that discussion forward a little bit.
I think almost those, I suppose, as a, I don't know, until people have to electronically disclose, people maybe aren't going to bring that forward, and that's part of the problem. People should be looking forward and thinking of the future, but it's a balance of what do we need to do first. And obviously at the moment people tend to concentrate, as you say, on understanding what is the broader impact of an exposure draft. And if we start looking at the final, what they perceive as the final detail, what disclosure will finally really look like, which is what they see as XBRL, it's almost perceived to be perhaps wasted time or time we could spend more on doing something else at that point in time. Once you've got a final standard through, then you start to think, really, what would that final disclosure look like? Mm-hmm. And that's what people perceive XBRL as being, the final disclosure.
It's interesting, some of, I think, the comments that you'd received, Rita, just from outreach, is that actually sometimes looking at the way the XBRL has been modelled helps you understand the disclosure requirements.
We had some comments, like maybe Chi wants to talk in a minute as well. Maybe also had some outreach, like, and received some private comments from data aggregators. And the comments we received from data aggregators very much, they were commenting on the taxonomy. Well, in fact, they thought they were coming on the taxonomy, but in fact, they were commenting on the disclosure requirement rather than on the taxonomy. So I think that was very interesting thing to see, really. And maybe Chi, I know that you did a workshop in Japan as well, yeah?
Yeah. Can I interest? We had a workshop in Japan. So that's the first time to discuss about the taxonomy and the standards together. So that the attendees was from some organization like a CRAF. Have you heard about the organization? CRAF is Corporate Reporting User Forum. So many famous analysts belong to. And at the same time, several information providers, such as Bloomberg, and also the local vendors, came to discuss together about the standard and the taxonomies. So it was a really good experience. And one of the attendees said, usually we are discussing about this exposure draft only inside organizations. So it attached a taxonomy, so that it was a good chance to discuss together or they're standing the another side. So that guy was from the CPA, so he is usually discussed with the accountant organizations. So he didn't have any chance to know the, how user think about and how, especially how the data is, how how the user taking the data from this the financial statements. So we discussed together, and the people after the meeting, people say we should send a comment to the ISB because it's a great experience, so that we want to continue to discuss each exposure draft. So we decided to collecting their opinion and send it. So
thanks very much.
That's our experience. If you have any interest in our activity, I will send our dialogues of the discussions.
Good. Anything more for Kirsten?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kirsten.